It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum takes a look at the state's housing affordability crisis from a new angle. They looked at housing construction permits to figure out the long-term trends when it comes to new housing. The research finds that while permit rates went up in 2021, they fell in 2022, stayed flat last year. In the big picture, those rates are way lower than they were before 2008 and the Great Recession. Mark Sommerhauser is a policy researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He talked last week with Lee Rayburn.
Your new research looks into housing permitting statewide, and you found that permitting's increased significantly in 2021, but decreased and leveled off in the years after that. What's behind these changes?
We were building, as many people know, at a rapid pace, building new housing at a very rapid pace, especially in the early 2000s. That came to a screeching halt around 2008, of course, with the housing crisis and the Great Recession. And essentially, in Wisconsin and nationally, our levels of building stayed at a very low level, not just during the Great Recession, but for a number of years afterward. But we did see a slight increase around the mid-20-teens, but still at a much lower level than sort of those peak boom years of the early aughts. Then we did see a significant increase in 2021. But in 22, that fell off a little bit, and as you said, roughly flat in 2023. So again, we're still way behind where we were in the early 2000s. And I think most critically, you know, our housing inventory is feeling the impacts of years and years of very low levels of new construction, basically from 2008 onward for more than a decade.
What are some of the reasons we've seen the slowdown in housing permitting in our state?
If you'll recall, especially at the start of 2021, interest rates were still relatively low at that point, mortgage rates. And so there was sort of a sweet spot there that I think really created an opportunity for a lot of new housing construction to really start. The problem, of course, you'll recall, is that in late 21 into early 22, we saw a really large increase in mortgage interest rates. And that, I think more than anything, is really the biggest factor in terms of why we didn't sustain the increases or build on those, the increases that we saw in 2021 on into 22 and 23.
Mark, the Wisconsin Policy Forum looked into the top 10 metropolitan areas in our state and how they compare when it comes to house permitting. What did you find?
One thing I should note is that for these metro areas, the number of housing permits issued in some of these, especially medium to smaller size metros, are not as large. And so what we did is we took a three-year average. And what we found is that 8 of the 10 largest metros in Wisconsin have issued more housing permits on a per capita basis relative to those immediate pre-pandemic years. Of course, a lot of that coming in 2021, as I just mentioned, when we saw the greatest number of permits being issued. The two MSAs, however, that did lag, that actually are issuing fewer permits over the last 3 years relative to those three pre-pandemic years, were our state's largest metro area, Milwaukee, as well as the fifth largest metro area, Racine.
When you break down housing permitting in Wisconsin, Mark, by single-family units and multifamily units, what did you find?
I think that's one of the most important findings of our report here, is that there's a pretty stark divergence happening within our housing construction here between multifamily and single-family that we can lose sight of when we just talk about housing units overall in the aggregate. We've seen a really significant increase in multifamily housing permitting by almost any measure that you would look at. You know, over the last 3 years, relative to those pre-pandemic years, certainly relative to earlier in the 20-teens and around the Great Recession period, what we have not necessarily seen is a corresponding increase in single-family. Now, single-family at the statewide level has increased modestly relative to the pre-pandemic years. We've seen a small uptick, about 21%, but that's much smaller. We saw more than a 60% increase by that metric in multifamily permitting. And more critically, I think that, you know, again, we know the housing markets are specific usually to a metro area. And what we see is that in some metro areas, including our second largest metro area and our fastest growing metro area, Metro Madison, that we've actually seen a little bit of a decrease in single family permitting. So that, I think, for anyone who's a prospective home buyer, is pretty concerning.
You identify the creation of buildable lots as a really important aspect of developing housing. What did you find regarding lot development in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so that's obviously the first step, right? For a new home to be built is you got to have a lot in place to do that. There really has been a pretty significant long-term decline statewide in the volume of new buildable lots being created. We did see a slight increase statewide from those pre-pandemic years, but it's dramatically below, more than 70% below where it was in the early 2000s, the number of newly recorded lots. And then again, something that was pretty striking for us with regard to Metro Madison, it was among a handful of MSAs that actually saw a decrease in new lot creation from those three pre-pandemic years, 2017, 18, 19, relative to 21, 22, and 23.
What did the Wisconsin Policy Forum identify as potential solutions to the limited housing permitting we're seeing in Wisconsin?
When we're talking about things like mortgage interest rates, when we're talking about things like the cost of building materials, which has definitely been another key factor that we haven't talked about, but it's certainly contributing to some challenges, I think, in building new housing, the increases in the cost of building materials. Those are things that there's not a lot that state or certainly local policymakers can really do about those things. You know, at the local level, we talk a little bit about if local policymakers can potentially take steps to increase the number of buildable lots in their community, if they can take a look at their zoning codes to make those more flexible to allow more types of housing to be built, or if there are things that they can do to make their housing permit approval processes, you know, faster, more predictable, less costly for builders. State government, I think, also could potentially play a role. We do point to a couple states where they have passed bills and signed into law measures that limit land use decisions at the local level in a way that is meant to make housing easier to build. And so some additional options for state policymakers could include things like tax cuts or incentives, regulatory changes that might lower the cost of construction. And then we hear a lot from our construction associations and trade associations that the construction workforce in our state is not meeting the demand that's out there. So we talk a little bit about the potential at the state level to try to look at ways to get more people into the building trades to meet that demand that a lot of the building trades are telling us is going unmet right now.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That was Mark Sommerhauser, Communication Director and Policy Researcher with Wisconsin Policy Forum. Todd Mandel joins us now for a look at affordable housing. He's the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development. And Todd, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development focuses on promoting the creation of affordable housing. So what do you see as the biggest challenges facing your organization?
The big question is... It's twofold. One, are you trying to create affordable housing or are you trying to make housing affordable? And those are sort of, they're similar but different questions. And some of the items out of the Policy Forum's report really go to how do you make housing more affordable? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the question about how do you create affordable housing, that's really just a question of money and funding. And we've seen a lot of funding come out recently, and that's been great and helpful. And I think you've seen that in the uptick of rental housing starts, for example. It is also one-time money. And so once this sort of largesse moves through the system and passes us by, the production lines for affordable housing will most likely revert back to where they were because the funding levels have not changed in any sort of structural way.
Where does that funding come from, Todd?
For the most part, it comes from the federal government through the Department of U.S. Housing and Urban Development. Affordable housing in particular is a capital-intensive work process, right? You're talking, even for a single-family house, you can be talking in a best-case scenario that you need $30,000 or $40,000 to help a household get into a home, maybe $20,000, but that's even less likely these days. And in a more realistic situation where you're tearing down a blighted home in a distressed neighborhood and building something new, you need upwards of $80,000 to $100,000 to $120,000 per house. So, you know, it's not hard to run through $1 million before you even get done with one block.
That doesn't sound like affordable housing. As you'd think about affordable housing, that sounds expensive.
Well, it's housing. That's the challenge, right? I mean, none of us want to live in housing that's substandard. So you end up building the house. You have to build the housing to code. And then, you know, when you build the housing, you're putting it in neighborhoods. And what you want to do is you want to put a house into a neighborhood that fits the neighborhood. And you want to put in a house that's going to be something that the neighbors support. And so once you get done sort of meeting all of the masters, right? The desire of the neighborhood, the desire of the owners, the desire of the unit of government that's funding you and that has zoning and control over permitting. You end up with a house that looks and is built much like any other house. And so the people often ask me, what does it cost to build an affordable house? And I go, I don't know. What does it cost to build a house? Because that's just what you're doing, right? We're not putting in granite countertops. We're not building 3,000 square foot, you know, monstrosities or McMansions. We're just building simple 1,500, 1,400 square foot homes with, you know, regular countertops and not even, you know, just standard appliance packages. But at the end of the day, that still costs money.
Sure. And Mark Sommerhauser talked before about how we have yet to see housing permitting levels in Wisconsin rise above levels that were set before the 2008 recession. I'm curious, Todd, in your work, have you seen something similar with affordable housing?
Yeah. So the parcel piece is really goes to the argument of making housing affordable versus the, you know, versus that avenue of affordable housing. Though it impacts both sides of this question. So by having mandatory minimum size on lots, by having, you know, lots that have to be a certain shape, or they have to, you can only have a certain density, you inevitably drive up prices, right? You artificially create a constrained market. And when anytime there's a constrained market, there's going to be price inflation. So that's a default. The other thing you do is you eliminate the ability of the market to decide what the right size for a lot to be is. We've created these zoning codes and created this artificial decision that all lots need to be X, Y, or Z sizes, which may or may not be the thing that makes sense. It'd be sort of like, imagine going to the grocery store and you go up and you're like, I'd like a pound of ground beef, and the grocery store is like, nope, sorry, we only sell our ground beef in 3/4, 2 pound, and 10 pound packages, right? And you're like, but I don't want 2 pounds. I'd like a pound. Like, sorry, that we don't do that. And that's in essence what you have in all municipalities in really all over the country. Wisconsin's not unique. So if you just need a small portion of a lot to build a small house for your grandmother or your mother to move into, you probably can't do that in most cities. Now that's changing pretty rapidly. We've seen larger cities like La Crosse and some others pretty radically change their accessory dwelling unit requirements, but no one has gone super innovative yet. So for example, Atlanta recently got rid of all minimum lot sizes and said, look, you folks, you do what you need to do to create the housing that our people need to have. So it doesn't shock me that we've seen a lot less lot creation. The other piece is lot creation is a function of economic activity and will it get built? And it's a hard time to develop stuff, especially single family housing. You know, you saw the permits for single family housing are down a lot. And it's just, there's just a ton of uncertainty moving around in the markets right now, even as an affordable housing developer that, you know, you wait around a brief story of one little project we just did where we had to wait almost a year and a half for the construction pricing to come back to us from, you know, it exploded and it was well past anything we could afford or should have to. And it finally, you know, the construction pricing finally fell enough after we waited 18 months that we could afford to do the project. And then by the time that happened, the interest rates, you know, accelerated well past what we could afford. So it's a dual-edged sword, right? You get it coming and you get it going.
From the availability of labor, material, and buildable lots, Our guest is Todd Mandel, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development, taking a look at affordable housing in Wisconsin. Todd, from your perspective with the Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development, how long do you think it will take for new home construction to begin to directly impact local housing costs?
That's a tough question. It's going to be different community by community. So a community that sort of goes all out and says, you know, all hands on deck, and we're doing a whole of government solution to this problem. 2 to 3 years to sort of bend that curve, I think, is a reasonable time projection. A city or a community that's just going to tinker around the edges, maybe do a little bit of zoning overlay changes, or maybe play around with lot sizes a little bit. You know, it could be a decade before it'll more likely be some other macroeconomic force that changes the housing market for them versus their own actions.
But if local or state governments were to step in and do something on behalf of affordable housing in Wisconsin, what would you see that action as being, Todd?
Well, I think the three biggest things that local or state government could do is, one, permissive permitting. There aren't usually particularly good grounds for denying affordable housing projects for getting done. And so creating structures and laws where, look, if this project meets the requirements for zoning and it meets the requirements for being built, then it can get built. Two is funding is always a question. And when we say funding, oftentimes, you know, local municipalities or counties are like, well, we just don't have any money, so that's easy for us to opt right out of.
Sure.
And that's not true, right? They have TIF districts. They have TIF districts that they can extend for 1 year, and then all the money that is accumulated in that extra year of TIF is expressly earmarked to affordable housing. They have land, they have surplus land that isn't currently being used that they could turn over, and they have relationships. They know other organizations that have land and property. I was just last night, I was at a thing talking with an organization, and they're like, oh, you know what? We have an old nursing home that we don't need anymore. Could we use that for housing? This is how these sorts of projects get started, just a random conversation between some people at a thing. But if somebody doesn't convene that thing, those conversations never happen. And the third is really creating some incentives for communities to be aggressive in their zoning choices and in their zoning modifications. Cities and communities react to incentives. And so if the legislature can create some incentives that help cities make good decisions on how to relax their zoning codes or change things, I think that would be helpful and great, because it can be challenging as a city to go ahead and change your zoning code because there's deep-rooted interests that don't want that code changed necessarily because it works for them. And changing it means it won't necessarily work for them anymore.
Todd, thank you for joining us today.
You bet.
Todd Mandel is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Partnership for Housing Development. We also heard from Mark Sommerhauser, policy researcher with Wisconsin Policy Forum. They both spoke last week with Lee Rayburn.